The Sharpshooters, episode 39, January 28th, 2006. Welcome, everybody, to the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the Grunge Finale.
And we are the Sharpshooters. We want to welcome you guys to episode number 39. You have anything to say before we get the show started, Marcus?
Royal Rumble weekend, I guess.
I guess it's
my favorite pay-per-view of all time.
Are you going to give me the money to order or no?
I will eventually.
I need it now, or I'm not going to make the call. Well, anyway, our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Our email address is thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Today, the poll closes down, so we don't need your vote. So we thank everybody who voted for that. We don't need them to vote on that poll. So we want to thank everybody that participated in that. Also, Marcus loves to mention it. There's a Frapper map up there. And that's about it. Also, vote for us at Podcast Alley.
And also, if you have the time, I wouldn't mind seeing somebody write a review. We got one in iTunes.
So whichever one you want to do,
apparently,
yeah, whichever one that you want to do, feel free to do. We appreciate any type of help. Now, Marcus, now's the time.
You get an email?
Yeah, I get.
You gave it a website. Just gotta make sure, man.
I did all that a couple of seconds ago when you do not pay attention.
Yeah, but I was preparing my top five little list.
You should have did that before.
I forgot.
Don't correct me. Anyway, it's time for the news. And there has been a slow week in news, as usual.
Woo.
The first story that I have is WWE lawsuit against Brock Lesnar has been delayed again. Judge Christopher Droney granted a motion filed by WWE to delay the hearing that opposes a summary judgment that would result in Brock Lesnar's non-compete clause being thrown out. A summary judgment is a judgment that is basically... it's a motion that a person kind of files to go to court quicker without having the normal process. So that's what that is. WWE wasn't prepared for this summary judgment, so that's why they requested the delay. And the new date is scheduled for February 8th, 2006. So the saga between Brock Lesnar and WWE continues.
Every week, it seems like. Every single week. Brock Lesnar's doing this, the WWE files this, the lawyer says no, they say, okay, we'll do this, Brock Lesnar, you can't wrestle, Brock Lesnar wrestle, over and over every week, and do we have to keep reporting on Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon every week?
It's snooze, because you never know, it might be a day where he comes back to the WWE.
One day he just says, you know what, today seems like a good day for me to come back.
Yeah, epic.
Enough of these legal issues and shenanigans I'm pulling today, let's get started with... wrestling.
All right, and as we announced at the beginning of the show, of course, this is the Royal Rumble weekend, and just we must go over the card like we normally do. There's a WWE Championship match. It's Edge versus John Cena. Then there's Kurt Angle versus Mark Henry for the World Championship match.
Can we give our predictions? Have you given them?
I think Edge is going to win.
Hopefully Edge is going to win. I hope they don't stray away from Edge winning. Because since he's been champion, the ratings are going through the roof. The most watched superstar of all time.
Because he's a rated R superstar.
Okay, I got Edge in that one.
I have Kurt Angle versus Mark Henry.
I got Kurt Angle as well.
Then you have the Boogeyman versus JBL. I don't think this match is going to happen. I think it's the Boogeyman's going to do something with JBL that prevents this match from happening.
I think it's going to be a DQ on JBL.
Probably what's going to happen is Jillian gets possessed or something like that and she attacks JBL.
Something weird is going to happen in the match.
Speaking of
weird.
What?
Mickie James and Ashley here.
Yeah, Mickie James versus Ashley as Trish is the special ref. I feel that Ashley's going to win, but she's going to get hurt, and Mickie's going to kill her, and then that's going to make beef between Trish and Mickie James, and they're going to wrestle at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the granddaddy of them all, the Royal Rumble match. This is the granddaddy of them all to me, because I like the Royal Rumble.
This is my favorite pay-per-view, favorite match of all time, any match stipulates, because it's nothing like waiting for that countdown, who's coming out next,
And so me and Marcus,
Phineas Godwin.
So me and Marcus would give you our predictions, but since the top five this week is, who do we think is going to win the Royal Rumble, we'll save that on for later
on the
show.
We'll save that for later.
Now, the next news item, it's not really news because it only relates to this show, As we mentioned before, we put a poll up on the website, and the question was, how long will Edge hold the WWE Championship? 55.6% of you guys felt that he was going to lose his belt at the Royal Rumble.
Mm.
The other, for WrestleMania, it was 22.2%, and after WrestleMania, it's for 22.2%. Yeah, so pretty much everybody thinks John Cena is going to retain his belt back here.
Except for us, well, at a moment and one point before I voted, right? And I voted for he was going to lose that Royal Rumble. But now that I'm seeing the Edge heads coming out, I think he's going to keep retaining it somehow.
I think he's going to keep the title just because of the ratings. But
I voted for the Rumble. I think he's going to lose at WrestleMania. WrestleMania
is where he's going to win it. That's where he's going to lose the belt at WrestleMania.
Or he might even keep it after.
All right. Is that enough for the poll? We want to thank you guys once again for participating. Next story that we have is Mick Foley. He now has a blog on the WWE website where he discusses a wide variety of topics. His current blog entry is talking about when he first met Stacy Keibler. So, from what I understand, it's a good read. I haven't read it myself, feel free to check it out. Marcus have read it.
But what you should check out even more is this week's Bike This with him on there. You don't have to listen to the Pat Patterson interview. I didn't listen to the Pat Patterson interview, but apparently his Royal Rumble picks was RVD and Triple H. Mick Foley's RVD and Triple H. I don't know if they know something, but anyway, he goes in detail about the I Quit match with The Rock and Foley's blog. You should listen to it. It's a good interview.
All right, so you guys, we're about to go to our SmackDown report after this break, but this is one more item. If you guys go to WWE's website, you will notice there's a picture of Shaquille O'Neal on there because, as you all know, that the Royal Rumble is from Miami. Apparently, Carlito visited the American Airlines Arena, and he had a run-in with Shaq. So for this break, we're going to play a clip from the video. I still advise you guys to check out the video because it's more interesting with the video. But just for the people who might not have the high-speed internet connection to hear that, we're going to play the audio. After that, we'll be back with our SmackDown report. So we'll see you guys then. Hope you enjoy the clip.
We're here at the American Airlines Arena. Mine is like my second home. Mine's of the Caribbean. We're watching the Miami Heat take on the Phoenix Suns. In what was an abysmal game, the Heat lost and they embarrassed Carlito. Shaquille O'Neal thinks he's a big star, but Carlito's a big star around here. And if Shaquille O'Neal gets out of line, I won't hesitate to spit an apple right in his face. You know why they call you guys the Heat? You're not a fool. You know what I'm saying?
Kane is a friend of mine. He called me at the house. He told me he didn't like Carlito. He told me about Sam. Give him a little whack on the back. I said before they got to stick together.
My house, you understand? You understand that? It's your house. Yes. I said it was his house, I lied. It's Carlito's house. He hits like Trish Stratus. I don't care if he's 8'9", 10'11". Carlito's gonna kick his butt whenever he sees him. That is not cool.
Welcome back, everybody, from the break. I hope you guys enjoyed the clip. Just to point out a few interesting facts about that. When Carlito's talking about this is his house, he is not speaking to Shaq. He's speaking to Jason Williams, and just Shaq sneaks up behind him and hits him with a chair. The best part of the whole thing is when he said, when I told Shaq it was my house, I lied. Thought that was hilarious.
So are they setting up a match between the good old Carlito and Shaq at WrestleMania?
Unfortunately, it can't happen because Shaq's schedule conflicts with WrestleMania and also the Royal Rumble. And also because I believe NBA players have things stipulated in their contract where they're not able to participate in outside things. And this is all because of Dennis Rodman and the NWO run-in.
Aw.
So, speaking of crazy individuals, Ron Artest was traded to the Sacramento Kings, if you didn't know. Anyway,
so my hopes of a Carlito, Kobe Bryant, Shaq handicap match is out of the question at WrestleMania, pretty much.
Marcus, they squashed a few. It gotta be
it's
Shaq.
It's not over.
Mark gotta be Shaq versus Andrew Bynum.
No.
All right, now enough of us digressing. It's time for the SmackDown report. SmackDown was on January 27th. It was from South Carolina at the Bilo Center. I don't know why I remember that because I didn't write that down, but I just did.
Probably wrong.
No, I'm not. Actually, because it was from South Carolina. I just couldn't remember the city.
Oh.
Now, they of course, how they always start off all SmackDowns, they start off recapping what happened the prior weeks. They showed the history between Mark Henry and Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think, didn't they show footage from the Rey Mysterio match? I'm not really sure. really don't watch it. So the first match of the night was Rey Mysterio versus Mark Henry. The interesting thing about this, Daivari does commentary. I guess everybody does commentary now.
No, but at least Daivari's commentary is better than lately commentary of your boy, the falling angel, Christopher Daniels.
Or better than your boy, Mr. Kennedy, who was not on the show this week.
Well, what purpose does he have to be on the show anyway? But
I don't know. Okay.
He's hurt, so, you know.
Throughout the whole match, Mark Henry basically throws Rey around the ring. Rey tries to get some offense, but, you know, Henry keeps maintaining control.
That might have been the beginning. Rey gets him with those kicks on the leg, man.
He's trying.
He's bouncing off that middle rope.
But Henry controls the most of this match, though.
Somewhat.
Then Mark Henry teases by gorilla pressing Rey over the top rope, but instead of giving that to the fans, he just drops him inside the ring, and it gives him a big splash, and he only gets a two count. After this, you know, Rey has took enough beating, and Rey decides to roll outside of the ring, and Mark pursues him in his slow, methodic pace.
Yes, he is so methodical. When did Mark Henry become such a beast in the ring?
He's stalking his prey like Triple H, but anyway.
Triple H actually doesn't stalk
Mark,
his prey anymore.
Mark, he's stalking his prey like a T-bone steak.
No.
Okay.
No.
Anyway, but Rey hides behind the stairs. And Mark Henry, for some reason, is waiting. And at this time, it gives Rey time to climb underneath the ring. Mark Henry walks over. He kicks the top steel stair off, expecting to hit Rey Mysterio upside the head. But it didn't happen for the simple fact because Rey wasn't there no more.
Now, there should be no reason a wrestler is able to hide behind those stairs. He squatted down and just disappeared behind his
knee. Now, I won't put it out this way. Mark Henry looks for Rey underneath the room like how me and Mark look under our bed when we look for something. We don't look that good. You just bend over a little bit and you look. But if he would have got down on his knees and looked, he would have did this. So what happens is Rey sneaks up from behind.
Chase him back again.
And he lands a bulldog on the guard rail that was fairly weak. But what kind of went nice with it is that he ran back around and landed a 619.
Off the ring post. Which was a nice little move.
What a nice move.
Just then, not nice enough to be your finishing move.
No, then he hopped back inside the ring. He celebrates, and Mark Henry decides to climb back in the ring. As Henry tries to get inside the ring, Rey kicks the middle rope, which this rope is now driving it to Mark Henry's nuts. And then he lands a, then he lands a leg drop from the top of the rope. It was a nice little spot, but it still didn't. Rey didn't feel it was enough to defeat Mark Henry, so he went up for a moonsault. He lands the moonsault, only get it two count.
Yeah, Rey should learn that he can't beat Mark Henry now.
With a moonsault.
He's done everything. 619, moonsaults, kicks in the groin, kicks in the legs.
But you know what? He's not finished yet, though.
He is. Because
Mark Henry goes for the gorilla press again, throwing him outside the ring. Mm-hmm. But this time, Rey reverses into a DDT on the top rope.
And strangles his throat.
Which puts Mark Henry in perfect 619 position. So he lands the 619 on him, and then he decides that he's going to go for the West Coast Pop, if that's what it's called. I'm not really sure. Mark Henry catches him. Looks like he has him in powerbomb position. But instead, he throws him over his head.
Or maybe flipped over. You don't know.
I don't know what happened, but it looks like he threw him over his head. And Rey landed on his feet. But then Mark Henry turned around, picked him up, and gave him his press slam for the win.
Yes.
I think would have happened, would have made it. I mean, either way could have worked. Is that when he caught him from the West Coast Pop, he should just powerbomb him and pinned him. I mean,
I like seeing that slam. I think that's his finishing move, by the way. It has to be like that. And I believe Rey escaped the powerbomb. I think that's what really happened. The announcers really didn't display what really happened.
Because it looked like he just threw him over
his shoulder. Yeah, I thought he tried to throw him onto the rope or something. Maybe he tried to throw him onto the rope, and Rey shorted. And that's why he was going to do the slam after that. But, you know, it was overall a pretty good match.
And
Mark Henry is... His
in-ring ability is a lot better than what I remember the man who could dunk a basketball.
Yes, he could dunk a basketball.
Okay,
he can choke in the Olympics.
All right, so now we go backstage.
He can impregnate a woman and make her pull out a hand.
Are you finished now, Marcus?
Yes, I'm finished, Buck.
No, you're not going to make not one sexual chocolate reference.
I made one reference about you, but when you was looking under the bed, and that's how you do. It's similar to Trace the
Air. I was talking about the sex. Never mind. So we're backstage, and Matt Hardy cuts one of the first promos for the Royal Rumble. He talks about how he is the underdog. No crap, Matt Hardy. And no one expects him the main event at WrestleMania. Not really. He says when it comes to do or die situations, Matt Hardy will not die.
No, he's been dying lately. When's the last time you won a match with last a pinfall. Week, last with week a versus, pinfall.
It doesn't matter how you win the you match. You win the match.
No, you get like a half a chip in winning with a DQ.
You win that.
You
match.
Don't get the full chip.
You get the full chip.
You don't get the pennies.
So now we go inside. We go inside of Randy Orton's locker room where he's preparing for his No Holds Barred match versus Chris Benoit, and Booker T walks in. He says, "You know what, Randy? Let me cash in my favor on you so you can beat Chris Benoit tonight. You know, we can put that, what saying did he say, Marcus?
To down. Put some base down.
Put some base on it. Don't know what that meant, but he was going to put some base on it.
He was going to, you know, shake him a little bit. I don't know.
Then Randy was like, you know, I don't need your help because, you know, I beaten Benoit before. And, you know, and I did help you put the belt around your waist. Booker T was like, I guess so. You know, trying to act like Randy Orton didn't help him.
He was like, yeah. No, he said, and I quote, That's not the way I see it, but let's just go ahead.
But then Randy Orton starts to talk about how it is his destiny to win the World Heavyweight Championships, and Booker T chimes in and is like, that's mine too. Then from there, Randy said, you know what? That's good, because, you know, we are both in the Rumble,
mm-hmm.
and it might come a time when we might be the last two participants in the Rumble, and I might want to cash in on my favor.
Mm.
And he walked out. Yeah. Booker T looked at Charmelle like, what?
And she was like, what is he talking about
all this? Then they show some footage of the SmackDown trip to Mexico. I think what's going to happen right here, I think Randy Orton is going to probably eliminate Booker T. Or something's going to happen because I have a feeling these two cats are going to probably fight at WrestleMania.
My inside knowledge. Later in the show.
You have no inside knowledge. You don't have nobody close to the business.
Man, I know Joey Styles somewhere.
It's going to be a main event, triple threat, Chris Benoit, Randy Orton versus Booker T or something like that. A Fatal 4-Way. All right, so the next match of the night, kind of fitting after they air the footage from Mexico, it's the Mexicos, Psychosis and Super Crazies mm-hmm. versus James and Chad Dix, the Dix, and Vito and Nuzio. And this is a War Rumble qualification match. So whatever team wins this match, both members qualify for the
Royal
Rumble.
Well, at least it's bad to put the coach in there.
Let's not bring up my dark times.
Well, he was wearing the Roethlisberger jersey, you know.
So that's the only time he got points. So in this move, some of the high spots are Psychosis and Super Crazy. They do this move on Chad Dick where they flip him over, then they kind of like throw him up in the air and slam him down.
They did a nice move.
Kind of like what Jim and I did on Paul London in the last week. They weren't. And so after they did this move, though, Super Crazy does a flip and Psychosis does a leg drop standing. And it was a nice impressive move.
Nice tag team moves from the Mexicos.
Yeah, and pretty much the Mexicos win this match. If you had any doubt that they were going to win this match, they win it with a double team face crusher to Nuzio for the win. Kind of looks like the X Factor or the Stratus Factor. It's, you know, something like that.
It was Tori Wilson's move, I believe.
I don't know what it was, but they won.
It's the X Factor.
Basically, they're in the Royal Rumble.
Yes, and they hugged all over each
other. One thing we did notice, though, is that we need to talk about Vito. And Vito need to be banned from wearing tights that's the same color as his skin because it looked like he was ass naked in the ring.
Yes, he looked at butt naked in the ring doing a camel clutch.
No, he did the cabbage pack to make fun of James and Chad, and they beat him. And it just didn't look right.
Camel clutch, I believe Psychosis one time, and just looked like he was on his, you know, ass on his back.
A lot of people feel that he's the next to go.
Vito?
Yeah, he's going to be the next one to be fired.
Well, he did try it a few. How is he going to get fired before Mr. Funaki and your boy Scotty?
Because they're not backstage ruffling any feathers like Juventud and Vito is.
Oh, well.
So the next match, I guess, would be considered the main event of the night. It's a no-holds-barred match between Randy.
What? This wasn't the main event.
Marcus? Well, okay, the champion was in the main event, but this was pretty much the real match.
It's the reason to watch SmackDown, the no-holds-bar.
Randy Orton versus Chris Benoit, the 30-minute match. The pay-per-view match.
They're pay-per-view matches, man. I don't understand why are they fighting on TV. I understand why. And I understand how.
Then why did you just say you don't understand?
Because I don't understand what I'm even saying.
But you just say you understand.
I don't understand what I'm saying!
Okay.
Okay? I don't know, but these matches are pay-per-view caliber.
So anyway, this match starts off very similar to last week with a lot of headlocks and holds. And for a moment, I thought they forgot it was a no-holds-bar match.
Yeah, because they, in the first 5 minutes of
it,
they're on the mat.
Before the first commercial break.
They're on the mat.
Then Randy knocks Benoit to the outside.
He's back to the commercial break.
He bangs his head on the announce table and then rams his back into the ring post. And he goes for the pin with the announcer's reminder, oh, this is a no-holds-barred match. A pin can be anywhere, but he only gets a two count.
No, because he has foot on the ropes, elbow in the face.
No, that's after he tried the pin on the outside, then he threw him back in the ring and tried that again with the foot on the ropes. It didn't work.
He tried to pin him on the outside?
Yeah, he did.
You can pin people on the outside? No,
no hard bar match. No rules apply, Mark.
Yeah, but you can't pin nobody on the outside.
Yes, you can. If you go
he
back,
tried that?
Yeah, if you go back and watch the footage, he did. So anyway, Benoit lands his three amigos. Eddie's three amigos.
That he's saluting
and
him.
Then he hits a superplex from the top rope. And what Marcus said, you never get tired of seeing a superplex.
No, that's the one move in wrestling you can never get tired of. It looks fascinating no matter who's doing it.
Then the no holds bar business start picking up. Randy smashes a trash can over Benoit's head, and then they go to commercial. Also, I believe early in this match is that Randy is going with the trash can, but Benoit hits him with a drop toe hold where Randy falls face first into a trash can.
Yeah, a lot of trash can hits.
It was a lot of trash can thing. Then we get back from commercial, and Benoit is chopping the hell out of Randy, but Randy retaliates with the clever poke to the eye.
He was with this poke in the eye all night. And this one was this the one that you're talking about was so blatant that he just jammed it all the way
through? I don't know. But then Randy decides to go old school right here. He gets outside the ring after he throws Benoit out there. And he pulls up the protecting mat to expose the concrete.
Now, that protecting mat didn't look that protected. It looked very thin. But
yes.
The concrete, it was nice to see somebody pull out the old concrete and try to finish him.
The worst part about this, I caught what was about to happen. But it still was nice. He attempts a pile driver where the announcer's like, he can't do a pile driver. That's outlawed in WWE.
But you know, it's the Who's Bar.
It's the Who's Bar. But Benoit reverses to a backdrop, which normally happens when the concrete is exposed.
Yes.
Then Benoit, because he has control, he lands his German suplex, the three of them, and then he signals for his diving headbutt from the top of the rope.
Oh, he's going to skip over when Benoit grabbed a chair and tried to slam it over Randy Orton on the concrete. When Benoit became a bad guy for a moment, pretty much.
He went
crazy.
I didn't want him to disturb his character.
He grabbed that chair and slammed it so hard it vibrated. He lost control of the chair.
Well, after that, Mark.
He became a villain.
So anyway, he goes for the headbutt. He jumps off, but Randy, being aware of his surroundings, grabs the trash can lid, places it on his chest, and Benoit's head hits there straight. So, pretty much, Chris Benoit is staggering at this point, so Randy is in his slivering position for the RKO, but Benoit blocks the RKO because he's been scouting him. He picks up a trash can lid because when he blocked it, he threw Randy off the ropes. He levels him with this trash can lid and then slaps the crossface on for Randy to tap out.
In the center of the ring, which didn't matter because I'm glad they pointed this out. He's going to get to those ropes. I was like, he's going to get to the ropes. It was like, it doesn't matter if he gets to the ropes because no holds barred. I was like, oh,
and Benoit did not have to let go.
And so, I was like, Randy, you screwed.
Even though it was a clean finish for Benoit, they kind of justified that there is a way that Randy Orton could have escaped if he really wanted to, but it was no holds barred. I was just upset that Benoit, I kind of thought that Booker T might have came out.
For what?
I don't know.
He didn't have no business.
No, but then more reason to come out. See, now you owe me something because I broke it up or
no,
something.
No, he can't do that because Randy said he holds his favor. You do not have to come out. He's saving the favor like money in a bank.
But wouldn't it make more sense for him to try to get rid of the favor by doing extra favor? Just be like, see, it's done, Randy.
Yeah, no, that'd be a nice touch, but another good match for these guys, by the way.
So anyway, we go backstage
again.
Can
we just go over this match, man? You can't just cut out the match. You can't just go stage to stage. You can't just go to the next level. This was another great match from Orton and Benoit. I really enjoyed them once again. I mean, they haven't done really a bad match with each other yet. I liked it. They were doing a technical match, and then it was a brawl inside, and it was very well-paced. Loved this match. I think it may have been better than their other match, though. I think last week. Was it last week or the week before?
You finished?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, it was a good match. That's all I have to say.
That's all you have to say?
That's all I have to say.
You never have any type of insight for matches.
I don't.
Why not?
Because it was a good match. It spoke for itself. There's no reason for me. It's a lot easier to talk about bad matches than it is to talk about good matches.
That is true, because you can point out when Coach jumps into the corner or something.
Don't want to talk about that. So we go backstage. You know how we talk about how Matt Hardy had no hell and shot winning the Royal Rumble? I found somebody who has a less of a shot than Matt Hardy. Animal yells and screams about how he has done everything, won titles and did this, but he has never won the Royal Rumble, and he looked forward to beating up 29 other superstars to win the Royal Rumble. Hey,
I like to say, though.
Hey, who cares if Animal wins?
Wait, I would care if he wins that match. Where the hell does this come from that he's the new number one contender and main event at WrestleMania on the SmackDown side? I would be shocked and appalled if he would win. Sorry about the spit.
It's not just the spit. Your breath, too, man.
It happens. I would be shocked and appalled if Animal wins his Royal Rumble, and he's been in like 20 of them or something. He ain't winning the Rumble, Eric.
I know that.
I mean, he's yelling like, I'm going home to Chicago.
I'll be offended if he's the last one. I think they were taking a shot at Jerome Bettis right there, but that's just me.
He wants to go home?
Yeah, he going home. But I'll be offended if he's like even part of the last 10 in the ring. I'll be hot. Only way, even he had a high number.
Ugh. Yeah, Animal should be in there. He should be in a mix of when Kane or Big Show come out and when they do their dominant runs.
Yes.
He should be one of those guys to go.
All right, now it's time for the next match of the night. We have Fit Finley versus Funaki.
Excuse me, his name is Finley.
Okay. Well, it was nice seeing Funaki in action.
Wait a minute. It's not nice seeing Funaki in action.
Why, you ain't late?
Every time I see him, I'm just saying, how did all these wrestlers get fired and Funaki continue to make the cut after cut after cut?
Because Funaki is in decent shape. He's a good performer in the ring.
Yeah, look.
He took a butt whipping like no one could take
a butt whipping. Roman Reigns was in decent shape.
But he wasn't a good wrestler.
Funaki isn't that good.
He had a hell of a good, pretty decent match with Fit Finlay.
It was okay.
It was a pretty good match.
It was okay.
What flaws was it?
Funaki ain't got no offensive moves.
He got some moves in there, but they just kept being reversed by the Irish jackhammer, Fit Finlay. I don't know why I called him
Well, at least he's a Tyrannosaurus
second. Hey, don't spoil that. Don't spoil that yet. So anyway, Finley dominates the entire match, but Funaki mounts a late offense. Funaki goes for a tornado DDT off the top of the rope, but Finley just yanks him off of that and lands a Death Valley driver similar to the cradle shot that Chris Sabin does in TNA.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that. After that, he gets the 1-2-3, but he continues to beat up Funaki, and to bring back old school wrestling, the ref reverses his decision, giving Funaki a victory in over 5 years.
Yep, I haven't seen...
Funaki has won because he was a Cruiserweight champion briefly last year, but the point is, we haven't seen him win until tonight.
Well, bringing back this old rule of... When the hell does this rule get digged up again? When you beat your opponent up after the match, they ring the bell, and if you don't stop, they will have to reverse the decision. I haven't seen this rule in over 4 or 5 years.
My only problem with this match is, why Funaki wasn't used last week instead of Matt Hardy?
Because Matt Hardy is the new stepping stone. Once you beat Matt Hardy, I guess you're established.
So, that's Val Venus. Now, it's time for backstage, where the wrestling god...
JBL is talking to
Jillian and telling her not to be afraid of Boogeyman because the Boogeyman is afraid of JBL. Jillian is upset because the Boogeyman removed her beauty mark, and she then asked JBL if he noticed her little small beauty mark on her face. He gives a look like,
No,
I didn't. Then JBL starts the wrestling god rant of how successful he is, and he even called himself a sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Now,
he will protect her the entire time.
Now, what the hell does a sexual Tyrannosaurus have to do with anything?
That man is a sexual Tyrannosaurus wrestling god. Is it enough said about this?
He's a sexual Tyrannosaurus?
Man can get the job done. He can get the job done.
You know, this JBL promo.
He paid dividends with his stock trade because he is a sexual Tyrannosaurus. He is the Jurassic Park of sex.
What the hell? Where does this come from? Where does he get? Who writes his promo? Does he get on there writing the weird things just to say? I mean, he's talking about the heavens and mountains. Now he's a sexual Tyrannosaurus.
I'm telling you,
is now a wrestling guy who is dead, not afraid of anybody.
Now, what I need we to do, I need SmackDown Raw to merge, and I need a debate between Triple H and JBL so they can rant and rave about how Triple H don't want to carry nobody no more, and how JBL's a sexual tyrannosaurus who went to the mountaintop, had the roses speak to him, and told him he was a wrestling god.
Where are his phrases coming from?
I don't know.
I mean, they're just... They're getting more and more outrageous every week.
Mark, let's pause. We have more time to rant about JBL.
Now it's time for the sexual Tyrannosaurus match, right?
No. Oh. It's time for your boy, Bobby Lashley, where he cuts a promo and says that he will remain undefeated and he will go on to WrestleMania and win the championship with his nice, squeaky voice.
Now, by winning the Royal Rumble, by losing in the Royal Rumble, does he even consider a loss, or he could just say he's never been pinned?
Mark, you sound like somebody grabbing you by your nuts.
That's how he sounds.
I bet you wouldn't say that to his face.
Damn right.
All right.
Actually, I would. And I'd kick him in his little nuts, just pushed up off steroids.
Now it's time for the sexual Tyrannosaurus match. JBL versus one guy who should be fired, Scotty Too Hotty.
What? All right. He should be fired, but Funaki shouldn't?
Funaki serves a purpose. He is a cruiserweight, and Scotty Too Hotty looks like a damn fool.
Scotty Too Hotty is Cakewick, Ron the True Killings, and a John Cena. He was John Cena before John Cena was around, and now he is trapped in that gimmick.
What happens if you let the John Cena gimmick go too long. And luckily, John Cena did not dance when he came out to the ring. Because
now
he did,
he's like the Truth. He's like right there next to the Truth. Ron the True Killings, look at a Scotty match, and you'll realize that's going to be you in 5 days.
Okay, so the sexual Tyrannosaurus comes out to the ring, and he's checking
for the... Is it Scotty or JBL?
The sexual Tyrannosaurus, JBL, the wrestling guy.
Just making sure.
He checks for the boogie band before he gets inside the ring. Then they air the history between JBL and the boogie man. Scotty, well, pretty much JBL dominates, but then Scotty gets him in position for the worm. He does his pre-hype before the worm, before he stops, and he looks, and then he starts doing the W-O-R-M, and then the sexual Tyrannosaurus rose to the occasion and delivered the clothesline from the depths of the beating of hell where the wrestling guy gets his power from.
Where does he get his power from?
From the mountaintops with the red.
You know, I'm willing to believe that his promos make less sense than the Ultimate Warriors. That just makes no sense. Where is he? Where is his mind? He's supposed to be in a world. He's supposed to be a billionaire and a stockbroker, and yet his mind is everywhere. Oh, by the way, JBL did look under the ring when he came out for the boogeyman.
I said that.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Well, I'm still thinking about the sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah, I said the sexual Tyrannosaurus checked under the ring. Well, anyway, he's right. He's about to pin Scotty Too Hotty, but then the putrid smelling red smoke described by Michael Cole and Taz. No.
He didn't get the pin?
No, he did not get the pin.
Because the match just disappeared.
It just disappeared because the boogeyman decided that he needed to come out to the ring. So JBL is searching for the boogeyman, but he's nowhere to be seen. Then the boogeyman comes from underneath the ring where JBL checked, but the reason why he couldn't see the boogeyman is because the boogeyman was covered in black camouflage. He had all this black paint smeared over him, where the only thing that was on there was his red paint.
Intelligent.
So that tells you that the boogeyman has some smarts in him.
He's a genius.
So JBL bumps into the boogeyman, who was doing his dance, and then he gets inside the ring, he bangs a clock on his head, then worms flew from the ceiling.
They already fell off.
They were already falling.
They was already falling during the smoke escapade.
Yeah, and that's what made JBL look at the worms.
And that's why the boogeyman was able to sneak up behind
and
him
then,
in the black camouflage.
Then JBL slipped in the worms, and he rolled around in the worms. Why the boogeyman did his dance around the worms, it was so entertaining.
He was out of his mind.
JBL leaves the ring.
JBL looked horrified, Eric.
Yeah, and then the boogeyman eats more worms, put them all over his head and all that good stuff. It was a very good spot.
Nice old boogeyman and JBL.
Wish the cat could wrestle, though, but...
There's no evidence that he can't wrestle. It's that he chooses to be more gimmick than wrestling. And this week at the Royal Rumble, he's going to prove to the world that he can wrestle.
Well, speaking of gimmick, Teddy Long is backstage reading the SmackDown magazine. And Then Melina walks in. She said she needs to discuss some business with Teddy Long, and she needed to show him something.
I was like, oh, no. Don't fall for it, Teddy. Don't fall for it.
She's going to try to get you for a sexual harassment case.
Or rape. Whatever she was doing.
She began to unzip her boot, and Teddy was looking at her leg. And
her lug? Her lug? What the hell's a lug?
What the hell is a sexual tyrannosaurus?
Yeah, but what is a lug? You know, she needs a sexual tyrannosaurus, anyway. Like me and JBL.
Okay.
Well, not JBL.
Teddy said that this was not the right thing to do. That she finally finished undoing her boot, and she showed the ankle that was taped up because, you know, last week, Kurt Angle put her in the ankle lock. And then she began to turn to the ultimate bitch on poor Teddy Long. Talking about, what is he going to do about this ankle thing? Because he didn't do a damn thing about when Batista harassed her and all that. And then Teddy's like, this is not, those charges weren't proven. Then she interrupts him and said, Teddy, you have 2 strikes against you, so don't make it 3. And she walks out.
Who the hell is she? I choked on my own words. Who the hell is she to make threats to the SmackDown general manager? Not that, I understand if he was Larry Zbysko, who anybody could just call a little bastard or something and get away with it. But he's Teddy Long, the general manager. He's running the show. How, what strikes could she have against him? What has he done to her?
I don't know.
What is her problem?
I don't know. She's trying to take good men down, I guess.
I mean,
there's no evidence that Batista was a good man, but
still. I mean, he may have done those things, but
they're still unproven.
So then, I mean, she jumped over
him. So then we're backstage with Crystal, who interviews Mark Henry about his win against Rey Mysterio and wanted to know how he felt. Daivari interrupted and said he feels great and Daivari knows all of Kurt Angle's weaknesses, and he was going to tell him to Mark Henry and lead him to victory. Then Mark gets on the mic and does a little bit of mic work, says that Batista found out that you can't beat him with strength. Then Rey found out that you can't beat him with speed. And then the ultimate shot, he said that Kurt couldn't beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Henry cutting promos. It's a dark day in wrestling.
What are you talking about? Mark Henry has improved a lot, from which I know him as just being the Olympian who could dunk a basketball. He's come a long way.
Man, we're flying through the SmackDown report, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know what I think it is? I think it's that 30-minute match between Randy Orton and Chris Benoit.
It was a very long match, and we didn't go into great detail. That you don't give your opinions on matches, and you know how you do. You
exactly.
Just skim through it, just like you do for any show that isn't Raw.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kurt Angle and Eminem.
Or Mercury and Nitro to be exact.
And Melina?
Well, she was there, but she really didn't do nothing.
What are you talking about? She handed them the weapon.
The weapon that looked like a roll of quarters?
It was a roll of quarters.
So pretty much, Mercury gets knocked outside the ring. Melina hands him looks appear to be a roll of quarters.
She has, Mercury, yes.
And then Mercury gets inside the ring. He switches off with Johnny Nitro.
Illegally.
And then Mercury uppercuts him with the roll of quarters. Don't know how I opposed it. It's a roll of quarters.
He uppercut him, and I thought that'll hurt. That'll knock him out.
But he only got 2. Marcus, the quarters inside the palm of his hand.
He had it out a little bit. I don't know what he was doing, but it worked. It worked.
Anyway, he only got a 2 count. It didn't work, Marcus. He only got a 2 count. He should have won a match.
Well, yeah. It almost worked.
And this pissed
off. If he wasn't fighting, going against a wrestling machine like Kurt Angle.
Or if he was going against a sexual tyrannosaurus, I don't think he did that either. Mercury then hit his angle slam. Nitro ran into the ring to break up the count because he knew it was about to happen. But this fool got suplexed out of the top rope, over the top rope, and rolled up the ramp.
He rolled all the way to the top of the ramp.
And then he came, Angle put his focus back onto Mercury, put the angle lock on him, and made Mercury tap. After this, Mark Henry music hit. And you know, you're like, damn, Mark Henry about to come put some work in.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't put no work in. He got in there. Kurt gave him the Olympic Angle Slam. It's just called the Angle Slam. Don't ask me why I called it the Olympic.
It used to be called the Olympic Slam.
I don't know. And then he slaps on the ankle lock. But Mark Henry, with his fat legs, breaks the hold by just kicking Kurt Angle off. And Kurt Angle looks shocked. Mark Henry's like, yeah, you can't do nothing. And then they go off the air pretty much like
that. Yeah, but the handicap match was a well-done handicap match. I'm glad I haven't seen a handicap match in a while. As long as the handicap match isn't featuring John Cena, who's very limited in moves.
Clothesline, like, shoulder block, suplex, FU, STF.
And you say hip toss?
I didn't say hip toss.
He has that hip toss, man. Anyway, see, Kurt Angle is a wrestler that can handle a handicap match.
But is he a sexual tyrannosaurus?
No, he is not. Okay. Anyway, Kurt Angle can adjust to any type of wrestler, apparently. And he makes every different opponent look different. And it really worked well in the Eminem Angle match, handicap match. Champions versus champions.
You know what I had trouble with, though? Their pants. They were just too damn white.
Why are you paying attention to their pants?
They're white pants.
Who cares? Jarrett wears white pants. You don't get over him.
I don't pay attention when Jarrett come out.
Why not?
I don't find Jarrett entertaining.
J-E-F-F-J-E-F-E-W-D.
But anyway, that was SmackDown.
And we skimmed through this, it seems like.
No, we do it the normal way that we normally do it. Just that I think what happened is we didn't get our standard 10 minutes of news.
The damn news. What? You know, I'm going to create a news story. How come you didn't put the... here's another news story that Eric didn't put, I just remembered. Undertaker throws a fit backstage.
Wouldn't you throw a fit if I put you in a match with me and you told me to bleed and I got hepatitis?
Yes,
You'd be upset.
I would be upset. And that was a news story. Undertaker gets angry at Bob.
You want to throw in some other news stories? What about The Rock snubbing Shawn Michaels because he doesn't feel that Shawn Michaels is a big enough star for him to face at WrestleMania?
What about your cell phone going off during the show?
No,
what about Chris
that.
Jericho getting acting lessons from that guy, some guy that hosted the next Action Star? That's
what,
right.
What about Chris Jericho supposedly already signed with that other federation, but no one has no evidence. The one for
NAW. New Age Wrestling. Well, I don't know. I think that's the end of the SmackDown.
What about
report?
Chris Jericho saying that he wouldn't mind being on TNA if they gave him a contract like Sting?
I mean, there's a lot of stories we could have threw out there. But none of them really worked it, and that's why we just skipped it.
Why didn't we do this in the news segment?
I should have brought this up in the news segment. And now it's after the SmackDown report, so we can milk more minutes into the show.
So anyway, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back with our top five wrestlers that we think have a chance of winning the Royal Rumble. We'll see you guys then. Now, welcome back. Now it's time for the Sharpshooters top five wrestlers that we think are going to win the Royal Rumble. Wow. You don't have nothing to add, Marcus?
The top five people we think are winning the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
The top five who's going to win the Royal Rumble.
Okay, Marcus, stop.
Beef!
Alright, anyway, before we start, let me explain how my list is. The bottom three people for my list are people that I would like to win the Royal Rumble. The two people are the only two people I think that have a chance to win the Royal Rumble. So that's how my list works.
Mine is pretty much, because it was in three categories. Who did I want, who should, and who will. Mine didn't follow that. I just picked who I think will win the Royal Rumble. Because who I want to win the Royal Rumble, I'll describe it after my list. And are we going to go through every person who's in the Rumble?
No. I'm just going to go with the five.
No, but I'm saying, are we going later on?
No.
Okay.
If we want to, we could, but I don't feel like it.
Me neither.
All right.
All right. Because, you know, you did that with the Intercontinental title. You went through that like 100 times.
Oh, because we had the notes, and
I don't know why did you do that. We went to Jared, Ramon, Goldust, Ramon, Goldust, Ramon, Jericho, Ramon. Mr. Perfect
can
in
you,
there.
Can you just give us your number five?
Bruno Sammartino.
Your number five is Bruno Sammartino. That's who's going to win the Royal Rumble.
He damn right here. My number five is Hillbilly Jim. My number five is a weird one. And hear me out. I got to describe this one. My number five is Kurt Angle. Now, that may sound weird, but here's this scenario. Let's say one of the
Mexican... Pause. I just want everybody to know that Kurt Angle is not in the Rumble.
Hold on. I'm about to explain my analysis of this. See, look. Just say, for instance, one of the SmackDown guys...
Don't look at me. Look at the mic.
You know, man. Let's just say one of the SmackDown guys... I say Adamo gets injured backstage for getting beat up by somebody backstage from the Raw locker room. Let's just say that. Tay Lone is another guy that represents SmackDown in this Rumble. So who does he go to? His bread and butter, the wrestling machine, Kurt Angle. Not only will this establish Kurt Angle as a mega superstar and master of a battle royal slash Royal Rumble, it will solidify him in the main event at WrestleMania to unify the titles when hopefully against Edge in the main event of WrestleMania. And that's a prediction that's very going out there and out of the box, but I'm throwing that in there just to do it. And Kurt Angle is my number five. Okay. Church.
All right, my number five is Rob Van Dam. Reason why I say number five, I wouldn't mind seeing Rob Van Dam win it. For the simple fact, I wouldn't mind seeing him being in WrestleMania as a headliner. But more than likely, I can see Rob Van Dam in some type of Intercontinental Championship match versus Flair, or whoever the champion is at that time.
Because Carlito is like, he injured Carlito?
Yeah, but the point is, Carlito's not the belt. Let somehow Carlito get a his hands on the belt, which is a strong possibility.
Because isn't there a pay-per-view in between WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, but it's a SmackDown pay-per-view, I believe. There's no way.
Oh.
So, unless somehow they make a miraculous thing. So, who's your number four? RVD. I think your number four is RVD, isn't it?
No.
Oh, wow.
My number four is, he can slay a tornado, everybody. He has a chance to win the Royal Rumble. It's Matt Hardy, Virgil Wood. Not only do my sources tell me he's going to win, but I feel he has a hell of a chance. Because with Edge champion and their ongoing real-life feud, wouldn't that make a lot of sense to headline that at WrestleMania? Matt Hardy and Edge. But not saying I want to see that as much, but I want to see it. Just to see it, because you had the leader instances who took it. They took Matt Hardy's life away. Matt Hardy doesn't actually have to win the match. He can lose to Edge. But Matt Hardy and Edge, he took leader. He took his dream of being a professional wrestler away. He put him on SmackDown. And Edge is now the heavyweight champion. That will have so much fuel to that story heading to WrestleMania 22 in Chicago that I think that should be Matt Hardy should win. My sources.
Alright, my problem with your number four is, A, Edge and Matt Hardy have already fought and the feud has been settled.
Not really.
B, Matt Hardy is on SmackDown, Edge is on Raw.
Benoit has switched, remember?
Okay, great.
That has worked.
I don't know if they're going to do that again. And C, Matt Hardy might be in the bottom five just to give him some payback for what they done to him, how they bury him. But there's no way in hell that Matt Hardy is winning this Royal Rumble.
He's my number four, man.
My number four is Carlito.
Why are you out of your mind? You talking about Matt Hardy. Carlito's been thrown over the top rope by Kane, by Shaq.
But see, Carlito's a cage event. And why else would they be giving him these segments with Shaq and stuff? Because Carlito can do it because Carlito says the sharpshooters are cool.
Now, I wouldn't mind seeing Carlito win the Rumble because he's Carlito. Anyway,
he's cool.
But I can't see that happening because that's so outrageous.
But remember, these are the people that I would like to see win.
Oh, yeah, that's who you like to see. But I would like to see him win it. But I say, clear cut, not going to happen.
Okay.
Would you say that too?
I'm saying he has just as much chance as Matt Hardy.
Now, what is that saying? All right, let's go into my number three. It's Rob Van Dam. The whole damn show.
The Undertaker can win. I'm not taking no shot for your number three. Okay, we don't let you talk about Rob Van Dam, but you know how you gave your Kurt Angle story about somebody getting hurt and all that? Why not have somebody get hurt, the damn man walks into WrestleMania, someone ends the streak, he retires.
Angle in the main event? That's a nice little...
I mean, he has to be...
He fights Kurt Angle in WrestleMania?
That's who's going to fight at No Way Out? Ooh. Anyway, move on to your number three. Go to your number three.
What the hell, man?
Go to your number three.
It was Rob Van Dam, man.
Talk about him. Talk about him.
What the hell was that? Anyway, Rob Van Dam is my number three because he's the whole damn show. Love Rob Van Dam. His whole career, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Never, ever got the push he well deserves. And I feel they should give him the push at the Royal Rumble. And I feel it would be a shock value if he wins the Royal Rumble and comes out on top and gives him the push he well deserves. Because Rob Van Dam is Rob Van Dam. There's nothing else that can be said. He should win it. Personally, that's who I want to win it. That's who I really want to win it. But it's not happening.
Now, my number three.
All right.
is a person that it's kind of like I wouldn't mind seeing him win it, and he has a chance to win. It's Randy Orton. It's his destiny to win.
We might as well get on. This is my number two.
That's your number two? Yeah. It's his destiny to win.
Okay.
And it's just
that. His destiny. That's your whole reason. It's his destiny. Because he's Bob Orton Jr., son, it's his destiny to win the match.
Well, I don't see him winning the match, but I see them fervently the feud between him and Booker T. I'll put it this way. At WrestleMania, I see Randy Orton, Booker T, Chris Benoit, and OJ somehow involved in the match for this belt. I don't know why.
The heavyweight belt?
The U.S. belt.
But you just picked them to win the Royal Rumble.
I said I would like him to win the Royal Rumble, but I just said that I think that it's just going to prolong, the Royal Rumble is just going to prolong a story between him and Booker T.
No, this is what I see happening with Randy Orton. That's why he's my number two. I see him actually winning the Royal Rumble because Booker T helps him win it. Out of spite. But Booker T isn't going to try to do it quietly. So he tries to turn on Randy in the Rumble. But Randy outsmarts him, gives him an RKO. And somehow Booker goes over the top. Or I see another scenario when they eliminate each other by turning on each other.
You have to holler?
Because it has to
happen. And could you at least holler at the mic and not me?
I have to holler at you because you're here.
No, don't. The mic is the people. You talk to the people.
I'm telling the people, and I'm telling you, Randy Orton and Booker T will probably turn on each other in, and that's why he isn't going to win, but he's the closest comeback to winning,
didn't
and
just,
that's why he's number two.
Say that they were going to front line the storyline with him?
Yeah, you know, but I wanted to make mine sound more interesting.
It sounds the same way. Yeah. My number two is Triple H. Reason why it's Triple H, because the man said he's going to win, and when Triple H said he's going to do something, he usually do it. Plus, he's the son-in-law to the boss. Second, his wife is having a baby, so they need the money for him to carry the belt.
Oh yeah, they really need money.
Third, he's Triple H, damn it. That's all I got to say. And yeah, he's Triple H.
I left Triple H off the list because I have no faith in him winning this Rumble whatsoever, actually. I don't see it. I'm trying to see it, but the way it just doesn't seem like he's going to win it. It just doesn't seem like it's his time right now to win the Royal Rumble.
Well,
he has won it before.
Well, let's just stop.
And he is the former AEW champion, and he just doesn't seem like he's interested right now. Or he just doesn't have the game to him right now.
Well, let's just stop talking about the number two. Let's talk about the number one that we both agree on, and the only reason why everybody know this man is probably up. 90% sure that he will win this Royal Rumble. I have no doubt that Rey Mysterio will win this Royal Rumble.
I'm 80% sure because my 20% Kurt Angle pick at number 5. Hopefully that pans out and works. But he cannot win the Rumble, but that's why he's my number one, because he is, man.
They gonna use the Eddie. He gonna be like, Eddie, call for me from above. And because even before Eddie died, they were talking about giving him a title run. And then, also, I had good sources that the next billboard, the advertised.
Why are you spoiling and stuff?
I'm not, okay.
You're spoiling everything.
Well, you had sources about Kurt Angle.
I made those sources up.
And how you don't know I'm making up my sources?
Because you talking about billboards and all that. You're a spoiler.
I'm not a spoiler.
Well, anyway, Rey Mysterio will probably win. They've been hyping it up for months.
I mean,
hyping it up for probably the whole year with Son Dominic's story and Eddie dying and David versus Goliath, and it's feud with Mark Henry, and it's going to be Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania in the main event.
And they could probably have a good match.
It'll be a good match, but I don't want to see Rey Mysterio as my heavyweight champion. But I know that he is a good wrestler. I know he has the talent, but some people should not be heavyweight champion. He's won. He should stick it to the U.S. Cruiserweight, Intercontinental level, his whole career.
Mark, winning the Royal Rumble doesn't mean that you're going to win a title.
It pretty much means you're going to win the title most of the time, because Shawn Michaels won it back a while ago, just the first time, and he lost to Diesel.
Ric Flair didn't win it.
What are you talking? Ric Flair won the belt in the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Anyway, that's our top 5.
What are you talking about?
Ray won. We both feel that Ray's going to win.
I believe he loses to Macho Man to the next.
We both feel that Ray's going
to
win.
Ray Mysterio will win the Royal Rumble. Cheers to Ray! Congratulations, Ray! You deserved it, although I feel Rob Van Dam deserved it more. I feel that they should unite the titles with Kurt Angle more. I feel that Matt Hardy and Ashfield would be better. And I feel that Randy Orton would make a hell of a champion because he's on a roll in the ring. And that's pretty
much. So why are you trying to upstage me and reread your top five again without really rereading it. You
I reread it, and I blatantly reread it, and I know it. My list was cool and satisfying. Your list was cold.
Know why your list wasn't cool?
And freezing.
Know why your list wasn't cool? Why? Because Carlito wasn't on there.
Oh.
And anyway, that's pretty much our show for this episode. Mark wait, probably we got went on his statements. Yeah, what's your closing statements, buddy?
We got closing statements. We actually not going to pause and just...
No, ain't jump. No damn break.
We're not going to say that's the, our top five.
The top, oh, this is our top. I said that already.
I know, but we're not saying that's the, you know, it's the end. Let's go to the closing statements.
Nope.
No little break in between.
No little break.
I got to keep on talking. Gotcha. I got to keep on rolling. I got to keep on moving. Keep the adrenaline pumping in the sky and a knife going around. Anyway, this is my top five. I got Kurt Angle, Matt Hardy, Rob Van Dam, Randy Orton, and then Rey Mysterio to win it. Mostly, I don't believe a Raw person will win it. The Royal Rumble, I believe everybody should order the pay-per-view because it is the Royal Rumble, the greatest pay-per-view the WWE can put out. Probably that is about just really one match, and that is the Royal Rumble. And everybody knows that Kurt Angle is going to beat Mark Henry. They know that the matches on the other side are predictable, but the Royal Rumble still has question marks because you never know what's going to happen. You never know who's going to be next. That's it. That's all I got to say. Order the Royal Rumble.
The reason why I say you order the Royal Rumble, because 30 men go in, only one man is the champion. Legends are made at the Royal Rumble. And
not really.
Yes, they are.
There's some that just didn't pan out. Matt Warrior won the Royal Rumble. And he is a legend, but he didn't pan out.
He won the title. Twice. He panned out.
It's not panning out if you win the title. He self-destructed, imploded. He felt the John Cena effect. John Cena never won the Rumble.
John Cena doesn't
Batista
need
to. Batista won the Rumble.
He doesn't need to.
He didn't become
anyway, a before me and Mark start to argue again over something stupid, I would like to thank the Pod Safe Music Network for providing the music for tonight's show that you're going to hear after we finish talking. Or, if you do not like our music, you can simply shut the iPod or whatever way that you listen to it after we say goodbye.
Or just fast forward it or something.
So, the song is called Just Bring It On, and it's by a band named Head Rush.
Height Right.
If you enjoy them, I will have a link to them on their site, on our site, mm-hmm. And you can go to their website. That's all I really had to say.
You gotta say, don't forget to vote for us at podcastalley.com. We have the link on the website.
If you have some free time also, an easier way, if you want to write a short, brief review about us in iTunes, we would appreciate it. Yeah. Whoever's I Love Shelton Benjamin, we appreciate that for your review.
The Frapper map is still there.
Yeah.
What else?
It might take 3 months for another poll.
It's going to be another 3 months for another poll because Eric is lazy. And I actually had an idea for one.
Maybe you can tell me after the show.
All right. And
that's it.
We're at our email address, thesharpshooters@gmail.com. Our website is thesharpshooters.blogspot.com. Get it? Got it. Good.
All right.
That's how I'm shutting the show down.
And I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale. Get it? Got it. Good.
And we're really the Sharpshooters.
We see you for episode 40. The Big 4-0, the sequel. Take a beating tonight.